Thanks very much.
All right, Mr. Foster, I suppose you have a statement, do you have anything to pass out, or?
No, I have nothing to pass out. Happy to get a second to talk to you. As a first point, let me say that we appreciated the proposal of both by Mr. Davies and the mayor, and generally think there's a lot that could be done with it. We supported the concept, protecting the basin, restoring the basin, and are willing to see that as a part of a plan that includes a hotel, includes a commercial building. We've said that, in fact, from the first time we met with Mr. Meda and his attorney, many, many months ago. When we met with them many, many months ago, we talked specifically about the vision, didn't include a cable park, didn't include a hotel and commercial building. As we said, cable park can be extremely controversial. We could skip all that if we were willing to go in and focus on two things that really seemed like you could get through. That meeting, when it started, when we sat down, the first 5 minutes was spent myself, Linda Maddox, Steve Nato, Bob Nato, discussing the issue of confidentiality. And that if we were going to have, like any other settlement negotiation that any of you have probably been part of, or any of the organizations here have been part of, you come in with an expectation that what you say in that meeting does not leave. It is a, I don't know if I'd call it the foundational rule, but it is probably a foundational rule of any productive settlement. That one party is not going to walk out in the middle of the settlement and go bad talk the other, or take things that they were willing to concede and go tell all their friends. That is just common sense negotiation. And if you're going to have any chance of a successful negotiation in a case where we have at least two active cases and two threatened cases, we have a declaratory judgment case related to appeals fees that NATO's and city are part of, we have the LUBA case, we have an Endangered Species Act notice of suit, and the Clean Water Act suit. And in those cases, those ESA and the Clean Water Act case, in addition to Friends, we have a national group, Center for Biological Diversity, we have a regional group, Northwest Environmental Defense Center. In addition to those cases, in addition to those issues that would need to be settled as a part of a settlement, to do a comprehensive settlement, which we agreed makes sense and that we're willing to sit down, told the NATO's 2 weeks ago, we'd be willing to sit down and do it, we asked for one thing, that basic norm to start any reasonable settlement be adhered to. And this isn't just an abstract concept, because the last time we sat down with the NATO's, and we believed that we had an agreement for confidentiality in, within weeks, we walked out of the agreement, and the statements that we had made as a part of that settlement talk were reflected in court documents and newspapers, articles, and misrepresented, grossly misrepresented in our mind. Been down that road once, we're not going to go there again. If there's any chance of this complex settlement with hostile parties in the middle of litigation and the hotbed of this thing to be successful, it is not going to be in a settlement negotiation where either side can walk out and start saying bad things about the other. It doesn't make any sense at all. We are more than willing and happy to have either the city or the port in on those negotiations. You can hear everything that we ask for. We encourage it, but there's no point in starting a settlement that is just any party can walk out and misrepresent what the other side said. And that's our number one concern. Can we reach an agreement? We absolutely think so. We are not talking about the height of the hotel, not an issue, nor the color, nor the number of parking spaces. We sit down and can have a closed-door negotiation like any other common negotiation, then we get past that point. And they would know what we're looking for instead of tilting at windmills that frankly don't exist. We talked a little bit with city council. We know the basic framework that would have to be met, but it's got to be all four parties. And from our side, it's Friends and it's two other conservation groups. So it is not just some. Now, I want to tell you, on our Clean Water Act case, Mr. Nato wants to propose our LUBA case, and all our cases, just a bunch of frivolous stuff, doesn't have any merit. But within a few weeks of our filing of our Clean Water Act notice, DEQ issued a violation notice for some of the very same stuff that we noticed there. As a result of DEQ's violation notice, and maybe ours, who knows what, that site has a different stormwater erosion plan now, has a very different permit in front of DEQ. It's got active stormwater controls, and it's been temporary cover put over. Those are good things. We're encouraged by them. But to call our efforts fruitless or just, you know, complete BS misrepresents what's happening. We feel very good about our LUBA case. We didn't bring it. It's not a frivolous case. We think there's a good chance that we will prevail on it. I understand they have a different opinion. There's no reason to go down that road if we can agree. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to sit down and reasonably agree. Are the natives going to like everything we want? I don't think so. Been clear about that from the start. In fact, we were very clear, even in our first meeting, about what changes in the design of that building or in the design of that project. Yeah.
Could you outline those? Because it seems like the two parties are kind of stuck. And I just wanted, if there's a way just to cut through and find out what are the threshold issues, what are the very key things that you guys need to see in order to let that thing go through?
What I would say is that by looking at the main issues that we raised in the comments and during the public process,
of course. Sorry, Brian. We weren't there, so I don't know any idea about the
implications. In the highlighted city process, there's big things that people focused on. One, a public path in front of the hotel. It continues the same type path we have on the rest of the waterfront. That's not going over a private deck. That is a real public path that Hood River can be proud of. And that requires some setback to the commercial building.
Okay, you talked about in front of the commercial building.
Correct.
Or in front of the hotel?
Public path. The primary issues that we put all along is a public path that coincides with some setback between a commercial building and a salmon-bearing river. Same kind of setback. Everybody else who wants to develop a commercial building on the river has to do. You want to do it in downtown Portland, you want to do it in the river, there is some setback. There is some path that goes in front of the river, and we've been concerned about the stormwater issues from the parking lot. Those are the primary issues. There are some sub-issues that are specific to the ESA or Clean Water Act, but those are the central driving issues. They all seem resolvable. They are not necessarily a snap, and I don't want to pretend that the natives are going to love every bit, but if you're building a $12-15 million hotel, these are rounding errors in the overall project. They're rounding errors. And
Are you ready for
it? Yeah.
What's the setback from the river that you're proposing?
That's the kind of stuff I would be happy to sit down with the port and get into details with you guys in a meeting. It's part of negotiation, though. We've asked 75 foot is what we've asked for. 75 foot is what we've asked for in the hearing. Is there room to negotiate that? There might be, right? But these are the kind of things, exactly the type of things. You go in a closed room, we all come in from different sides, and if you, at the end, everything works out, then you leave with a clear shot.
Are you asking for standards that exceed legal requirements?
No, we don't believe so at all. If his
plan could pass that muster, then that answer the question.
I'm sorry?
If his plan passes that muster, doesn't that answer the question, speak to the issue?
Not necessarily. If what they're asking for is for us not to be involved in any further things. For example, National Marine Fisheries Service that would typically come in and say, like in Portland context, they want to build near the water. They come in and say, you got to be 75 feet or 100 feet or whatever is back from the water. If we want to resolve that all up front and have a hotel that can go and get everybody signed off, then we agree to whatever that should be now. And then when, whatever the ESA determination is, we don't come in and then, you know, later end up challenging them and say, hey, that's not enough of a buffer. But I mean, what makes sense is you plan it up front, we agree to everything that the project's going to look like, and you go. Is zero buffer going to be acceptable? It doesn't mean to comply with the Endangered Species Act. It's not going to be acceptable. And that You know, we said this to the city. You can't put a commercial building in the Columbia River on stilts. Not in 2012. Now, does it have to be back on the road? We're not saying that. Is there room even to negotiate below 75 feet? Not going to say that there's not. But, you know.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to negotiate what he has to submit for approval. And what's the point of him negotiating twice?
I kind of agree. There must be
once
a
with the agency,
down
once with you. I mean, by what authority do you want to substitute your standards, you know, for a federal or state agency?
If a federal or state agency makes a decision that we don't like, or that we don't agree is legally sufficient to protect salmon, for example, or preserve a public access path, right?
That's their job.
Pardon?
That's their job.
And often we don't agree with them. And if we don't agree with them, then we have a public process that we can challenge that. What Mr. Nato leaves out is, for example, on his flow adjustment request, he wants to go into the Army Corps and get a flow adjustment request. There is a National Environmental Policy, a NEPA environmental study that hasn't even been released yet. It's going to come out. That will have a public process.
That's not your job to enforce that.
It absolutely is my job to enforce it. I understand your position, but it is a public document. The Corps asks for public comment, and they either do their job and enforce the law, and if they enforce it, great, and if they don't, then my clients have the right to go in and say, hey, you didn't do your job right. Now, if we want to preserve the right to go challenge their decision later, then we can do that. We don't have to include a buffer in this. But that doesn't get you anywhere, because in the end, they make a decision. If it's a bad decision, I can tell you my clients are not going to just say, oh, yeah, we trust the Corps to do their job. I mean, nothing against federal agencies, but often they don't know, you know, maybe do exactly what the law requires.
I agree with you on that. You have a question?
What's the governance?
Oh, I was listening. I got lost. I was listening to Friends.
Well, what's the governance of Friends of the Water?
It's a nonprofit board of directors.
How's it organized?
As a nonprofit.
Well, let's focus on the positive outcome. I want to see. I want to see best come on. So, is there a specific thing that the port can do to help you at this point?
Absolutely.
Which would be
if the port wanted to either convene a negotiation, be a party to the negotiation, anything which helps forward. I mean, we're sitting here wanting to discuss and to agree to an overall project. The idea that a developer in 2012 has to put some buffer or a waterfront path in front of his hotel should not seem radical. I don't think that's a big ask, right? The fact that the city council didn't do it, you bet. My guys aren't happy about it. That's why we have a loop plan. Do we think it's legally required? Yes. You know, that's why we have multiple lawsuits out there. But are we willing to settle it? Are we willing to look at finding a better solution that you guys put forward that has an Espenon and does all this stuff? You bet. I mean, that all we're talking about now is sitting in a context where you have some chance of successful negotiation. And we're happy, you know, again, we're happy to do it. I'm not going to do it when somebody can walk out in the middle of the thing and go, you know, misrepresent what we were saying or what have you. If we don't try, then there's no way to know.
It seems like we'll have a legal opinion on so what we can participate or not. You guys want to, you know, we probably shouldn't share that now. Maybe that's the executive session type discussion.
We'll get back to you on that.
Would that be fair, Jared? And we find out what we can do legally.
Right, we can analyze that.
Sounds to me like the sticking point here in this project is that you've got a pile-mounted structure out over the water, and at the same time there's this waterfront walkway, public access, and two in the market. Isn't going to work. I mean, you're not going to build something out over the water and give the public pathway. And I'm sitting here looking at that piece of water and saying, well, how do you make this work? I mean, I'm short of having the hotel or the structure along the water move back towards the south. Yeah.
So just for point of clarification, I thought the proposal had a pathway. It wasn't the same materials, it wasn't the same design, but there is a pathway below the hotel.
Yeah.
The issue is the materials.
Well, it's two things. But this, because there was such strong public opposition to this idea of making a private deck the public path, at the kind of last minute, the city council threw in this idea of a secondary path. The problem is the hotel, the commercial building is so far down to the water's edge that that means then the path is essentially a path in the water. And so Army Corps then has to look at this path that goes below the Urinay High watermark, and their first comment was, well, why don't you just move the building back? In order to justify putting something in a wetland, you need to have some or in the river. Never mind the issues of, if you put the path down there, it's going to be flooded half the year anyway, which is another just a practical issue. We aren't looking for an aquatic path, but one that's actually dry. So those were really the two. That's why, I mean, this idea of the secondary path was a nice idea, but it's a wet path, and it's not, as a practical matter, it doesn't really get you to what, if you want to connect the Hood River Spit and you want to connect that whole thing and have a world-class waterfront path, it's not on private deck, and it's not below the Urinay High watermark.
Obviously, we're another question.
That's where I can see this going, is that the TIF funds could be applied to this creative waterfront two-tiered pathway system. What? Not supposed to say that.
Well, no, you can say that all as much as you want. We get into an issue of spending money on private land and public land. I'm not really sure I want to do that.
Well, you might transfer title, please.
But anyway, my idea that we're thinking right now is obviously we're way far out of where the Forest Authority is. We're lost in land use issues. It's not our area. I think what we ought to do is move our discussion on. We've heard from you. We've heard from Bob. Maybe we'll hear from legal advice executive session. So we can turn to these other items that you have. It didn't look like we were going to go much further. But I thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Bob, thank you for your